Tonight we're going to be looking in the book of Mark. I don't have a bulletin, so I assume that's what we're doing. Okay. Mark chapter 5, verse 1 through 20, we'll be reading that. Tonight I want to look at a story about a man that Jesus came to, and I titled the message, Look What the Lord Has Done. Because it's not just about the man, but it's more about what Jesus has done and what He does in our lives. And all through the Bible speaks to what God has done and how we should worship and praise His name. So read along with me as we read this passage of Scripture tonight. Mark chapter 5, verse 1. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when He had come out of the boat, immediately there met Him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped Him. And he cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with You, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? He said, I implore You by God that You do not torment me. For He said to him, Come out of this man, unclean spirit. Then He asked him, What is your name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. Also he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, Send us to the swine that we may enter in. And at once Jesus gave them permission. And then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There was about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. And those who fed the swine and they told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. Then they began to plead with him to depart from their region. And when he got into the boat, Jesus, he who had the demon possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, Go home to your friends and tell them what the great things the Lord has done for you and how He has had compassion for you. And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank You for this story tonight. It's not just a story, but it's a true event that happened to a real man who lived in a time such as this. Help us, O Lord, to understand Your Word, to understand this message tonight. Speak to our hearts and speak through me. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. As we look at this story this morning, I'm amazed at the distance the Lord went to get to this man. He went across the sea through a storm to get to this man. In the chapter before, he told his disciples, they were on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and he told them, let's get in the boat and go to the other side. Well, the other side is at least 8 miles wide to cross the Sea of Galilee. It's a big sea. And as they were going on that sea, a big storm happened. And, you know, they got in the boat and they were afraid and didn't know what to do. And they begged Jesus. And they said, Do You not care for us? We're perishing. So they almost perished in a storm. And then, of course, Jesus got up and rebuked the wind and told them that they were fearful and asked them why they didn't have any faith. But you know, Jesus came a lot further than just crossing a sea in a boat through a storm. He came from heaven to earth to get to this man and to get to all the people who would accept him, to get to the whole world. The Bible tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So God sent his Son from heaven to earth to become like us so that we could become like him. We see this man who came to Jesus. It seemed to be a destroyed life, a man who had an unclean spirit possessed by demons. It was a terrifying sight. As a matter of fact, Matthew chapter 8 says that this person was exceedingly fierce and would get in the way of people as they came up from the shore. In other words, this person was a monster. And he lived among the tombs. So when you get to the area of the Gadarenes, after you cross the Sea of Galilee, I've been there, there's a hill that goes up and there's caves and there are tombs. There's not many trees in that little area. And it is a frightful place. I mean, it's a place you don't want to be. And on top of that, they had left in the evening, if you were to read the chapter before. So now it was probably dark. And here's this monster coming out to meet Jesus and the disciples. Well, he scared everybody else, but he couldn't scare Jesus. His dwelling was in a graveyard. People were just dying to get there. He had been chained down before and bound, but the devil within broke the chains and made the man a wild man. Time and time again, the Bible says night and day. Night and day, this man couldn't get no rest. He cried in the mountains and in the tomb. He cried for help. Night and day, he cut himself. He tried to kill himself, but the devil wouldn't allow him. Night and day, people watched. I believe some people tried to care for the man. They tried to do what they could. The Bible says that no one could tame him, but they just finally gave up and realized there was nothing humanly possible that they could do. So we see here a broken, destroyed life, probably not even recognizable to those he used to know. He had lost his home, his friends, his family, and he was truly lost, poor, hungry, and out of his mind. We see there are demons inside of this man, is what Mark tells us. And Matthew and Luke also record this story. We are not told why and we are not told how this happened. Maybe the man got into an occult of people who worship demons. Or maybe he came under the influence of some drugs. Or we don't know. Whatever it was, he probably didn't start off thinking that he would be completely controlled by the devil. But the longer time passed, the more the devil got a foothold in this man's life and finally had complete control. We see this sometimes in some people that we may know with alcohol and drug addiction. It's all through our country. And it probably hits every family in some way or the other. You either know somebody or somebody in your family. It's a sad situation to watch somebody. At first it starts small, but as time goes on, addictions can take a person if they don't stop and realize. Jesus said this about Satan. He said, he is a thief. He's a thief. And he comes to steal, kill, and destroy in John chapter 10. But Jesus said, I've come to give life and that they may have it more abundantly. But as I think about that verse, why does Jesus repeat himself? Why does he say he comes to steal, kill, and destroy? I think he's trying to let his disciples know that Satan is relentless and trying to destroy people's life, and trying to tempt people and hurt people. We see he's the accuser of the brethren in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. And it says that he accuses the brethren before the Lord night and day. Jesus said in John 8, 44 that he's a murderer from the very beginning. So Jesus don't mix words about Satan. He tells you right off about him and what he thinks about him. Notice the demon saw Jesus afar off and came running to meet him. And it's as though they were dragging the poor helpless man with him because he wasn't talking. They knew that judgment was coming. Just look and take notice. They knew who Jesus was. And they were begging not to be tormented. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, we're reminded that there's a hell where Satan and his angels and the false prophets and the demons go and they are tormented night and day. They know their time is coming. But notice that they believed in Jesus. They knew who he was. James 2:19 says, yes, if you believe in God, that's good. But even the demons believe and tremble. So this is not the kind of a saving belief that they have because they know who Jesus is. You know, your father or your mother, when you know that they are your father and mother, you don't have to have faith to know who your father and mother are because you know them. And that's the same way it is with these demons. They know exactly who God is. But the difference is they don't obey God and they don't follow him. They just try to scheme and persist in destroying what God has created. It was not a saving faith that they had, but they did know who Jesus was. The Bible clearly tells us, often Jesus reminds us to follow him. He says, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. And that can be part of the Christian theme, that we follow him. And we notice at the end of this story that the man who had been demon-possessed followed Jesus. He didn't want to leave Jesus' sight. Jesus came for men and women and children. His mission statement was when he got up in the synagogue in Nazareth and he opened the Isaiah scroll when he said in verse 18 of chapter 4, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus was setting this person free and set him free. He broke the chains of this person. Jesus asked the demons what their name was. Legion is what they said. That can mean as many as 6,000 people, and that's what a Roman legion would have in it. I can't imagine that many demons inside a person, but this is the story. Notice Jesus grants their request. He sends them into a herd of swine. 2,000. That's a lot of pigs. The demons want to inhabit some living thing that God's created. Think about that. They want to inhabit, of course, the soul of people. They want to twist whatever God has made and destroy it and play with it for a while. And the pigs just couldn't take it. So they just went for a swim down the hill and drowned. And those who took care of the herd were astonished. Now think about the Lord's encounter for just a moment. I believe that Jesus met two people in this man. He first met the two entities, the one with the voice who spoke, the evil spirit, Legion. And then I believe he met the man's soul. Although the demons spoke up and were loud and obnoxious, I believe Jesus could hear and see the heart of the man who was crying and within for help. You see, I believe he was a trapped soul that could not get loose, who had lost everything, even his own identity. He couldn't even say his name. And the ability to talk for himself physically. Our Lord could and did look beyond the evil and saw a man. And if there's something in this story that strikes me more than anything, it is this, that God can see beyond our evil. He can see beyond our fault and sees our need. He sees who we really are, and he still loves us, and he still cares for us, and he still came on a mission trip to come help us and get to know who he is. This is not just some parable, but this is a real person who lived at a time, maybe at this moment. And look at the effort it took Jesus and his disciples to get to this location to help this man. But Jesus is good at this. He's an expert at looking beyond the surface level of a person's life and looking straight into their heart. I remember how he called Zacchaeus out of the sycamore tree. He said, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to your house today. And if you remember that story, Zacchaeus said, hey, I'm going to give up to half of what I own to the poor, and I'll give anybody I've cheated, I'll give them back. And then I remember in John 8, when the woman who was caught in adultery came to Jesus, and they just pushed her in front of him. And Jesus, you know, he forgave her. He said, woman, where's your accusers? And she said, Lord, I don't know, I have none. He said, go and sin no more. And then Jesus, while on the cross, looked to one side of him, and there's a thief who had died and who was dying and was guilty of all kind of things. But Jesus could see beyond that thief. That remember, the thief says, Lord, would you remember me when you come into your kingdom? And Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. That's just a few instances. Jesus is constantly looking at people for who they really are and what they really are. And he calls us to do the same. Paul reminds us that we, in his chapter of love, he says, now we see in a mirror dimly in 1 Corinthians 13:12, but then face to face, now as I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. Sometimes we walk around as though we have a glass windshield on around us all the time. And I believe, Jesus, when we look at other people, and I believe sometimes Jesus wants to break that glass and wants us to roll down our windshields and windows and look at people, look at their hearts. And that's what I was impressed with as I read this story, that I need to look at people at their heart and at their soul as a person that God created to be saved, a person that God loves. So we see this healed man, he started off with a man of an unclean spirit, but we end up after with an encounter with Jesus with just a man in his right mind at the feet of Jesus. Luke chapter 8 says he is sitting at the feet of Jesus. What a picture. What a picture. No telling how long he'd been there sitting with Jesus, because it took a while for the people in the city to come and find him and see what was going on. We see that he was clothed, the Bible says, and in his right mind. And I kind of think and would like to think that the disciples took a part in helping this man, maybe to clean him up and to bind his wounds and to put some clothes on him. And we see that the people in the area gathered around with fear over the things that had taken place. Sadly, they asked Jesus to leave. Jesus just doesn't stay where he's not wanted. But notice, Satan likes to hang around where he's not wanted. He likes just to hang around. But Jesus can take him. As Jesus was getting into the disciples' fishing boat, the restored man followed Jesus, begged to come with him. The man was a new creation in Christ. Old things had passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You know, it's a natural reaction for Christians, new Christians, to follow Jesus and just want to stay as close as we can. It said, do you remember that time when you first met Jesus, how that thrill was there and you just couldn't get enough? And when I read this story, it reminds me and it speaks to me about that experience and about that encounter, because this is an encounter with Jesus, but you know we can have an encounter with Jesus every day. The man was lost and now was found. He was given up for dead, even living among the dead, but now he was alive and set free. No more chains, no more destruction. I want us to think about for just a moment the schemes that Satan has. Sometimes he likes to work on Christians. And so I think this story reminds us that he's alive and well, but he has no power against our Lord. But Peter reminds us, and he reminds us to be on guard. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in this world. So how might Satan influence Christians? Well, first thing is temptation. He's been doing that for a long time. And Jesus gave us an example in Matthew chapter 4 how to fight that temptation. Jesus fought it with the Word of God. When Satan told him to turn the stones into bread, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And he said, it is written. And then Satan told him to cast himself down. And then Jesus said, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And then Satan says, all these kingdoms I'll give you. And then Jesus said, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Get away, Satan. Jesus can just slap Satan away like you do a fly. But he's given us an example of how when we're tempted, we can ask God for help. Paul tells the church at Corinthians, he says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. All of us face common temptations. All of us face some of the same temptations. But he says, God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able, but will with the temptation also make of a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And then false teaching sometimes come into the church, and we see it with the cults and things like that. So we have to be aware of false teaching. Paul was so concerned about false teaching, he told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1, he says, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. And then he went on to say in 2 Timothy, he's warning Timothy, he says, hey, some people in the church, they don't get along with each other. They cause trouble and they generate strife. And that's in chapter 2, 2 Timothy, verse 23. He says, knowing that they generate strife, in verse 24 he says, and the servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. But later on he says this, that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. We have to be careful in the church how we relate to one another, that we relate in love and that we relate in kindness. And we must go on, and this is a whole nother sermon, each one of these topics. Physical attack. Satan attacks people. He attacked the three Hebrew children, Daniel in the lion's den. Paul said that Satan was a messenger in the flesh in chapter 12, verse 7 in 2 Corinthians. Persecution. He wants to persecute the church. And Revelation 2, 8 through 11, Satan is believed behind the imprisonment of some in the church of Smyrna. But here's the thing. We have a God that we can go to, a God who can help us. We need to realize that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So we can stand in our faith, knowing that Jesus will help us. Yes, he is like a roaring lion, but that lion stops when a saint is praying, when the Lord puts his hand out. That lion has no authority over a Christian and over a Christian's life. That's why Peter reminds us that we need to be steadfast in our faith. Don't give up when we're attacked. And we all are attacked at some point and sometimes. James tells us to submit ourselves, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And then finally, we need to remember what John wrote in Revelation 12, 11, talking about those who were persecuted. He says, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. We can always remember that although Satan will throw feelings of doubt and guilt and fear sometimes at us, the blood of the Lamb covers us. Jesus loves us and He sees us for who we are. And then that gets me to our final point, the testimony of our faith. Jesus told the man, He said, go and tell. Go and tell. Be a witness. You know, many times Jesus would heal somebody and they would follow Him, and Jesus wanted them to follow Him. The young lawyer, He asked to follow Him. But this particular man, He said, go and tell. Go tell people what the Lord has done. Go back to that family that has been lost. Go to your friends and regain them. Tell them the great things that the Lord has done for you and how He has had compassion on you. And he did. And he proclaimed it all throughout the region, and people marveled at what Jesus had done. So our testimony is so powerful. It's so powerful. We just need to remember it. And this story reminds me about our testimony and what we should do. You know, this person was on God's list. Yes, he's got a list. He's got names written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Peter reminds us that the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, I don't know how all this is going to work, but the Lord does, and we need to have faith. But what I believe is that God gives us a list of people that He brings into our lives to share our testimony. Every Thursday night, when I write the checks for my employees in my company, I'm on my program where I write checks, and I get into this section where it's got a list of the names of all the people who've ever worked for me. Now, I could erase a lot of those names, but I don't. But every Thursday night, I look through some of those names, and I remember those people's lives. Some of them have passed on, but many of them, I thank the Lord for bringing them into my life. Some of them helped me out. Some of them, I was on their list to encourage and help. But many of them were on my list, I believe, that the Lord gave me to help. One was my neighbor, Coy Pope. He had a drug addiction, an alcohol addiction, and I remember one day in our barn, he came and he just wanted to know the Lord, and I shared with him, and his life was changed, and this was years ago. And later on, Coy passed away with a heart attack, but I'll never forget his wife saying, would you do the funeral? And he's on my list. And every time I pass his name, I say, look at what the Lord has done, and that his life. And then I look at other people who were ministered to me, and then I look at some others who I could have done a better job. And it just as though it, when I look down that list, it reminds me, you know, I could have done a better job. I could have been a better witness to that person. But you know what? God gives me another day, and God gives me another chance. And so, as I think about this story tonight, Jesus looked at this man face to face. He looked beyond the evil that this man had, and he looked at the soul that God had created. And the Lord is, I believe, was telling me, Scott, you need to look at people like that too. Every person is a soul that God has created. And God wants good for people. And so, as I close tonight, who's on your list? I'm reminded every Thursday night when I go through there of the list. God brings people in and out of our lives. We never know for how long, for how short, but there's always a purpose in God's work. So, do we have a testimony? Sure we do. And this story reminds me to tell your testimony That's something that you have. Nobody can take that away. Used to, my granddaddy would say, get an education, son. Nobody can take that away. But nobody can take away the relationship that you and I have with the Lord. And that testimony, when the Lord came in your heart and did something for you and gave you a new life. And we can share that. And I believe that this is part of what this story tells us tonight. So look at what the Lord has done in this story, in your life, and people that He has sent your way to help you, and in people that He has sent your way for you to help them. Let's close in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank You for this beautiful story. We thank You, Lord, that You came to save us. You came to help us as wicked as we are sometimes. You came to forgive us. And I thank You for that, Lord. I thank You I stand here for as one who needed forgiveness. And You saw how wicked I was and that You forgive me and that You help me. And I pray, Lord, that You help us all the rest of this week to share our testimony, to share about You, how great You are, and the good work that You do. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.